FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. If I sound a little bit different, I've upgraded my studio. I've got a new mic. It is amazing. It is a Cloud 44A based upon the old vintage RCA 44A back from the 30s and the 40s. It's made the same way in the same lab. I'm not a paid spokesman for them by any stretch, but I talked to the guys. I met Roger Cloud, who came up with this concept. The only difference is it's got a built-in preamp, not to get too technical. So as a result, the mixer doesn't have to work as hard to get the same high quality sound. It's the best mic I've ever used for podcasting. I'm really thrilled to be using it now. Hopefully the quality, the sound quality of the show has increased dramatically. I think it has. I'm sounding better to myself, and I have to listen to myself all day, so I can only imagine how you feel. We're going to be talking about the coronavirus, what the truth is. Got somebody on who is a scientist, scientifically trained mind. You're going to hear from him. We're going to talk about how that affects the election, all of this. Our good friend Gerard Lomero is back with us, and Gerard, it's so good to have you back on. I haven't talked to you in a while. We were both totally on the right path when we discussed Trump's impending victory and now probably his impending reelection. But we got some complications. Nothing ever comes easy for Donald Trump. And really, that's for the better. You need to be tested, and you need to be tested regularly, because otherwise, if you're not, you get complacent and you wind up being a party person who just goes there to line your own pockets and you don't really work hard. All of these things. Well, Gerard, it's great to have you back on. So looking at the coronavirus and your standpoint as a scientific mind, what do you think is the truth about this?
Well, I think the panic is really blown out of proportion. Clearly, it's a new virus that we don't know as much about as we do about, say, H1N1, H3N2, and some of the others that we've seen in the past. But, you know, let's take a look at the response right now compared to previous responses. You know, when the swine flu hit back in 2009, I think, give or take a year, back then, Obama didn't do anything until we already had 1,000 deaths in the U.S. And right now we're hovering around 45, give or take, deaths. Everyone is bad. I'm not saying that it's good to have any deaths. But when you consider that the typical flu in the U.S. gets up to 70,000 deaths in a season, this is small potatoes still in the U.S. I mean, it's affected China more. It's affected Italy quite a bit, partly because Italy and China have so much close relations, a lot of people traveling between the two countries. But overall, I think it's overblown. I don't think we're at a point where we really have to do things like close restaurants and close everything, shut down all sports events. It just seems like very extreme. And I'll be honest, given the fact that I track the elections very closely, I think it's a political game, just like Ukraine and the Russia hoax were there. I think this is a crisis of sorts, maybe a small crisis, a new sickness and that, but being exploited by the media to try to somehow bring down this economy and bring down this president, because they sure didn't do it with the Russian investigations that went on and on for years, and it didn't work with Ukraine or any other thing they went after Trump with, because they were all empty kinds of attacks on the president. And I think this one is too, but I think he's holding his own. I think he's doing well. And what I did is I looked at the numbers. I love looking at my numbers. And I've created all sorts of models in my career, and I'm looking at my own model now for how long this will last. And I have good reasoning mathematically about the numbers I talk about.
All right. So you think it's political and they're exploiting it to try to weaken the president And in the process, this overreaction, if it is an overreaction, and I'm not sure, I mean, look, if they prohibit or restrict interstate traffic, that's going to be it's a total disaster for the economy. Has the potential to throw the country into a major, very steep recession, if not depression, right?
It can have devastating effects. And notice that that states, for example, like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois, California, are all making states of emergencies or drastic things happen. You know, for example, closing all restaurants, closing all meetings greater than 100 people or 250 people. It's shutting down all sorts of events, activities, travel, you name it. It's going to have a big impact. But yet, you know, I look at, for example, the curve of deaths, of mortality, what impact it has. And again, I am sympathetic with anyone who loses, you know, a family member through this virus or any other virus. But you look at the Pareto, if you will, we can use that term, of the deaths, you see that most of them are people who are over 80 that die, who are already compromised. And then you look at the 70-year-olds, the 60-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, it keeps dropping, you know, and the numbers just keep going down and down and down. So in other words, it does impact, but who does it impact the most? The elderly who are compromised, that have lung problems, that have cardiac problems, and those who are middle age. Well, the World Health Organization spokesman said recently on Fox News, I heard him personally because I listen carefully, and he said 80% of people who get this are going to get minor symptoms. Yeah. Now, do some people get bad symptoms? Yes. If you're older, you're compromised, maybe you should stay home or something. Or, but you know, to take this, to shut down the entire country when maybe a large percentage of people aren't going to get anything other than minor symptoms. They may feel like they had a cold. We don't shut down the whole country to prevent people from getting the regular flu. And you have between 20 and 70,000 people a year during a flu season die from the regular flu. And here we have 45, maybe we're up to 50 today, people that have died. That's terrible, but it's not 50,000, which is more like a typical season.
But what about what happened in China and Italy, the number of fatalities, etc.? What's your take there?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Lumina Gold, ticker symbol LUM on the Toronto Venture and LMGDF on the OTC, is yet another of legendary mining investor Ross Beaty's Lumina Group. It's advancing the largest primary gold deposit in Ecuador. The resource is estimated to contain 16.7 million ounces of gold and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. At just $7 US per ounce gold equivalent, it trades at an incredible 13% of its net present value. More good news is on the way with an updated PEA study expected in Q2 of 2020. It has unparalleled infrastructure. There's grid power to camp with plentiful, inexpensive hydropower available. It's close to two ports and is just 8 kilometers from a paved highway. Water is plentiful. It's at low elevation. And the closest community, which is very supportive of Lumina's effort, is just a 7-kilometer ride. With all this going for it, it's likely to follow the typical Ross Beaty formula, which means big returns to shareholders. Find out more and sign up for notifications at luminagold.com. That's Lumina, L-U-M-I-N-A, gold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I'd like to know what the denominator is. And by that, I mean, how many people really have it? You know, when they say that, you know, X thousand got it and X dozen were killed, it comes up with a percentage that looks a little scary to some people. You know, if you hear 2%, 3%, as opposed to 1% or 0.5%. But we don't know what the real take is. How many people really have it and don't even know it? I mean, we're going to test the entire population of the world to find out. But just to assume that on a limited denominator, we should use that as the global, the universal denominator, I think that's a mathematical mistake, because we may have millions of people that have it right now that don't know it and feel great. Maybe you and I have it. Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't think I have it, but you know, any of us could have it. In theory, we could have run into somebody at an airport or whatever.
Oh, I totally agree with you. You never know. And you might be asymptomatic, which is all the more reason you're never going to know whether you had it or not, obviously. But it's really having an immeasurable impact, travel, everything. You know,
it's going to hurt the economy, and there was no other way to hurt this economy. You know, we've had people say on the left, I wish we'd get a good recession to get that Trump out of office. And, you know, this may be their opportunity. And look at the states, by the way, that have done a lot of the states of emergency, you know, declaring states of emergency where the governors get power. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, everyone that I just mentioned, I think, has a Democratic governor.
Yeah.
And is it being done for political reasons? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit scary, though, because it's the unknown pandemics. I think it goes back in human evolution. People really get scared when they hear that, when they read about it, when you read about the Middle Ages. You read about the waves of plague that they had, and you can't help but be concerned about it, perhaps a bit fearful of it.
But there's something to think about, Kerry, and that is, how does socialism operate? You know, I have a brand new book out that I think is the best book ever written on socialism, called Real World Socialism. Just came out in January, because I knew it was going to be a big issue this year. What is one of their major tactics that socialists use to try to infiltrate a country and change it into a socialist country? Fear, crisis. Yeah. They do it all the time. They've been doing it for 150 years. You know, do you remember things like Ebola? That was a big potential crisis. Swine flu. How about cranberry? Do you remember the cranberry crisis?
Yeah.
About cranberries might do things. And they use all sorts of things. How about global climate change? You know, there's a lot of evidence that that is nothing more than a propped up hoax. And there are many scientists who disagree, and there are some who agree. And I'd say first look at their funding before you read their papers. That's who's funding them, because that gives you an idea if there's any bias or axe to grind. But, you know, a lot of folks really believe global climate change is blown out of proportion. The end of the world in 10 years, 7 years.
Well, what did Al Gore say in an Inconvenient Lie? I mean, Truth, that movie that he put out there. He gave us 10 years, and that was in 2005. So he was a little bit off, wasn't he?
Right. But they keep saying it. AOC, you know, the famous Congress lady from New York, you know, she has us ending in about 10 years, or maybe it's 9 years now. And they live by crisis, and that's how you gain power. You scare the people to death and say the government is the only thing that's capable of handling the problem. And yet, most governments, even governments in free countries, are run by bureaucracies. And bureaucracies spend most of their time protecting themselves, not so much their people.
They're like any other organism.
Bureaucracy.
Right?
Yeah.
The first purpose of an organism is to assure its own survival. And, I mean, humans are no different. The first thing we do is look for survival. But because we've developed so much, we have kind of gone up the Maslow's, curve there, his list of priorities, the pyramid, I guess. And
yeah, absolutely. Sure.
So we don't even think about a lot of this, but it's definitely true. So prediction for the election, you still believe it's Trump's to lose or to win?
I think Trump has got it nailed. Even with this, this is going to end. By the way, my prediction, I should give you the prediction on the coronavirus.
Yeah.
The crisis component of this, I think, will be over between April 15th and May 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my own study of all the numbers I could put my hands on.
I totally agree with you. And tell me why.
Well, because of the nature, there's a lot of factors that go in. I use a lot of different trends at the same time. But some of the important trends are there's a seasonality to flus to begin with, where they typically end by May. There's also a certain burnout. People cannot keep their emotions at a high level. People can't give up all baseball. They can't give up all rest. It runs against human nature to stay in a state of panic for very long. So that's a reason that's going to mitigate. And even if it doesn't mitigate, people are just going to go back and say, why bother to worry about this?
Yeah, so you know, the burnout.
Also the facts come out and things like that. So I think with 80% probability at least, I would say between April 15th and May 15th, the coronavirus crisis will be over. The market will start bouncing back, in my opinion. And a lot of people are going to be able to buy stuff at bargains. You know, they sold stuff when it was 28,000 Dow, and they're going to buy it back when the Dow is at some lower number, and they'll participate in a little bonus that they didn't plan on originally this year.
Yeah, well,
so that's what I think is going to happen. And I think as far as the election goes, my current forecast is Trump 367. The Democrat, whoever it is, 171. We could talk about that because I don't think it's Biden.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, we both agree on that. It's the person behind the curtain. At first, I thought it was going to be Bloomberg, but he acquitted himself so poorly. He was such a train wreck, or as they called it, a dumpster fire, that it's impossible for him to come back now and try to reclaim it through a brokered convention. You know, when I look at Joe Biden, I see a person who's got advanced dementia. Now, I am not qualified to diagnose him, but I've encountered a number of people who've been in this situation, and he is going to get violent, and maybe the coronavirus will keep him off the stage enough so he won't be challenged by reporters and voters. You know, the voters have upset him more than the reporters have. The first rule of politics, Gerard, is never argue with a voter, right? And he can't even do that right.
Using bad language, totally inappropriate.
There's something wrong with this man. So
absolutely. And also, I've heard them speak. You know, I listen to them directly if I can, not just get secondhand articles about people. And I heard them slur words and sentences. Yeah. You know, this is usually if I hear someone who's that age slurring, I start thinking they had a stroke.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of issue going on. And I don't want to wish that on him, of course, but we got to be realistic. Who are we electing for president? And he's got a bad memory. On the stage when they had the debate in Washington, D.C., between the two of them, Sanders and Biden, neither of them knew the name of the virus. One of them called it SARS and the other one called it Ebola. So these people, they're in a position to take on the coronavirus. They don't even know what they're taking on.
Yeah. So if it's not Biden, okay, if it's neither Joe Biden nor Bernie Sanders, who's it going to be? Don't tell me Hillary.
You want me to tell you or you want to?
Well,
I'll be back next week.
I'll tell you my guess and then you tell me yours.
And I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
Once you go first.
All right. So there's two states that they absolutely have to win for president. And I don't think it's going to matter, but there's two states. One is Minnesota. If Minnesota is lost, everything is lost. The other state is Pennsylvania. So we have Tom Wolf and we have Tim Walz. And that's one of those two will be my guess. If I am right, I think I'll have my own cable news show come December.
Well, that sounds good. So my selection's different. But then this way your listeners get a variety of opinions, right?
Yes.
So I look at all sorts of trends. And one of the trends that's really big is that Black American voters have spent five decades voting for Democrats for president.
Mm-hmm.
And they voted 8% of them for Trump. A lot of them stayed home and didn't support Hillary last time around. And Trump said, what do you got to lose? Why don't you support me?
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, the polls are now showing that he'll get 34% of the Black vote. My forecast model shows 42%. With 42% the Democrats are not going to win when they lose that many black votes, because they're used to that vote. And I think the only person that has even a small chance of putting a dent in the 42% is Michelle Obama.
No.
She's the second most popular person in the Democratic Party in terms of overall, and she's also very popular among blacks. So she might be an attempt to bring back some of the black voters that they're losing to Donald Trump.
Right.
That's not saying she's going to get it, but she at least is one they must be considering seriously.
I know what you're saying, and I understand the rationale for it. There's one reason why, in particular, it won't be her.
Because, and by the way, I have a reason it might not be her, too, but you go first.
Okay. The Obamas have made more money since he left the office than any other president in history. And that includes the Clintons in a shorter time. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. We don't even know how much they've made. This, for her to run, will require a complete disclosure of their finances, and they're just not going to do it. And the second reason is she hated being in the White House. She liked the power. She hated being in the White House. The ceremonial stuff, everything else, having to kowtow and kiss people's butts who they needed, absolutely despised that. She's never been vetted. She's never had an adverse interview or questioner because she was the first lady and therefore above all that. And if she throws herself into the thick of things, she won't be able to avoid it. So that's my rationale why it won't be her.
Okay, let me tell you what is the main reason I see as being preventive for her getting it, and that is John Durham. And he is going to start indicting people, in my opinion, from what I can read, you know, on the sidelines. I don't have an in on his office. But from what I can read from what's available publicly, I think he's going to start indicting people somewhere in the neighborhood of May to June. He's going to wrap up his investigation later this summer, but before that, he's going to indict people, and I think they're going to be high up in the Obama administration. And I think that Michelle will get tainted because of her husband. Not that she was directly involved, but that he was directly involved, and electing her would almost be a second Obama presidency because he would be so close and so influential. So I think that's what's going to hurt her more than anything.
Yeah, I just don't see her as wanting it. And I just don't see her as being able to put up with the scrutiny that she's going to be under. She's never been challenged. She will melt like Joe Biden once she gets an adverse opinion from the media or from Donald Trump. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, Gerard, just tell us where to find your work, how to follow you on the web.
Sure. Well, I do a blog on my website. It's free. It's available for people to read. There's about 180 web pages on my website. It's full of information, stuff I've written over the years. And they can go and buy any of my books, which are really pretty good and add a lot to what's on the website. All the books can be purchased on Amazon print or Kindle editions. And of course, you can go to the website and read all that stuff for free as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate that. Any questions or comments, we'd like to hear from you what your thoughts are about the election, the coronavirus, etc. Email address kl@carrielutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Website financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Gerard, always great having you on. Good health, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds great.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.